Hi everyone, my name is Marley Ruskin. I am a 22-year-old from the northern side of Chicago, and I'm happy to be here with you all.
Healthy Minds Alliance is an innovative AmeriCorps program managed by Health360 that engages AmeriCorps members of all ages and backgrounds to meet critical mental health needs in communities served by their host sites. AmeriCorps members serving with the Healthy Minds Alliance receive a stipend during their 10-month service term, and upon completion of their service term, receive an education award which can be used to repay qualified student loans and to pay current educational expenses at eligible institutions of higher education and training programs. If you're interested in becoming an AmeriCorps member or would like information on how your organization could become a host site, please see our show notes for information on how to apply.
Welcome, current, former, future AmeriCorps service members. My name is Michael, and I will be your host for today's Healthy Minds Alliance podcast. And I'm also a currently serving AmeriCorps member. Joining me today is Marley Ruskin, who is an AmeriCorps fellow at Joslyn. Marley, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to get a chance to talk to you. We emailed a little bit back and forth, trying to get things organized and set up, but I haven't had a chance to really deep dive. So if you don't mind, start off, classic question, tell me a little bit about yourself.
So like you mentioned, I am serving at Joslyn. They are a mental health organization, nonprofit. I have actually been with the organization for a while now. I worked at their therapeutic summer camp called Camp Nika for the past two summers and have loved it. So that's what I do during my summers. And then I am a recent graduate from Miami University, love and honor.
Congratulations.
Where I studied social work, and I graduated in May, decided to take a gap year, which I'm doing AmeriCorps now. And then going off to University of Chicago to get my master's in social work.
Oh, fantastic. So I always like to ask people, like, what kind of drew them into the service originally? So you mentioned you're kind of on a gap year, and that's actually something I hear kind of regularly. I'm finding it kind of interesting to hear all the different ways people have gotten into service with AmeriCorps. Some people, it's like the older cousin method. Someone knew somebody, could be a colleague, a reference. But if you don't mind sharing, how did you end up getting to serve with AmeriCorps?
Yeah, totally. So there's two ways. The first way is, this is actually my second fellowship through AmeriCorps. I served when I was a senior in college through Service Plus. I worked as a domestic violence and sexual abuse victims advocate at a courthouse. And during my internship, I had to do this internship to graduate through the social work program at Miami. But halfway through the school year, they were like, hey, we have this thing that will pay you to do your service work. You have to do a little bit more hours. I think it was like 25% more of the hours that I was already doing, but you'll get paid and it looks great on a resume, and like, it's a national program, and here it is. Come to this meeting, check it out, see if you like it, and we can go from there. So I did that, and I liked the idea of getting, you know, a stipend, especially as doing the work that I was doing, and it worked out great. So that's one way. My second way is, the organization that I work for over the summer, like I mentioned, Camp Nika, usually every year, one or two of the counselors do this specific AmeriCorps program through Joslyn. So they were the ones that told me about it, said, if you are interested in taking a gap year before you go back to graduate school, come serve with Healthy Minds Alliance and see if you like it and go from there. So that's my second way of how I know about AmeriCorps.
And so you are in your second term. About how far along are you? Because each term is 10 months generally. Are you halfway, quarter way, almost done? Where are you at?
A little more than halfway. I started in August and I end in May. So it's what, I don't even know. It's February. No, it's March. Oh
yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah. I had to think for a second too. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I work at a school too. You think I would know that.
Right. No, so I actually am almost done. Wow, that's crazy. March feels like, so, I mean, oh my gosh, sorry.
Sorry. I wasn't trying to spin you into an existential crisis.
No, that's okay. May feels like so long from now, but it's in reality, it's in like 2.5 months. It's crazy.
Yeah. Because the last day of the school that I serve is like 8 weeks away. And one of those is a spring break. So yeah, you're not far away.
No, wow. I am the last week of May.
Okay, very, very cool. So you're currently serving at Jocelyn. So tell me a little bit more about them. You kind of in your intro, you mentioned it kind of lightly, but you can deep dive as much as you want. What is the mission statement? Where do they serve? Is it just local? Do they have outreaches like through the internet? Like if someone's in Alabama and they need help, is Jocelyn Center someplace they could get it? Tell me everything I should know about Jocelyn.
Yeah, so Jocelyn's mission is mental health for all, mental health care without barriers. So they provide mental health at a reduced cost, as well as have almost every client under Medicaid, which is amazing to the extent of ensuring an access to care regardless of income, insurance, all of that. And we include a sliding scale based on eligibility, which is also great. So that's a little bit about Jocelyn. Jocelyn has different community programs within it. So we have the living room, we have the adult drop-in center, we have Nuestro Center, mental health first aid, which is what I'm doing. And then we also have a bunch of teen resources. Those are all like part of our community programs, as well as we have individualized mental health care. That's your therapy, your psychiatric supports, referring out, intensive outpatient care. So I can dive into that too as well. I also can just, focus on mental health first aid specifically, what I'm doing.
So yeah, so if you will, and again, feel free to cover whatever you would like. But it generally makes sense to kind of focus on what you're doing,
Correct.
specifically. So you mentioned the mental health first aid, which I think something all AmeriCorps members do. I particularly do the flavor of youth mental health first aid. Some people do other populations, but do you have other responsibilities like within the organizations other than that? So feel free to share both all of that, if that makes sense.
So I do teen mental health first aid. So I am going around to high schools in the North Shore area, as well as other areas. We recently just did a training at the Chicago Excel Academy, which is in Roseland Park on the south side of Chicago, which was a great experience. But we do teen mental health first aid, which is going into these high schools and training the sophomore grade level in mental health first aid, which is teaching and training high school students how to be aware of when their peers are experiencing mental health challenges that may or may not lead to a mental health crisis. So, a little different than youth, we are actually teaching and training the teens themselves when they're in these situations, as well as just training teens in like language around mental health and like what is mental health? Why are we talking about it? And recognizing the signs of themselves as well as rather than just their peers and finding their support and acknowledging and teaching them what is in their school and what their system, the space that they show up to every day, can also support them with. So we always go in prepared, knowing the school supports, knowing where they are in their school, knowing where we can find them so that we can promote that and make sure that the teens know. That helps us be prepared as well.
Yeah, it's one of the things that comes up a lot in the trainings that I do. I do the youth mental health, which is aimed at caregivers that are working with youth, is how often the first people to notice something is a peer, or that's the first person someone who's struggling reaches out to, a friend that they trust. And, we talk about trying to foster those relationships and use them where you need to, those things. So to do a class that's more focused on the teen themselves, I can see how impactful that would be.
Yeah, no, that's super important that you say that. That is like a known statistic that teens are most likely going to fellow teens to talk about what is going on in their mental health life. I mean, I think that's a lot of it has to do with social media. They can contact peers through social media. They can hide behind that screen and be vulnerable rather than, telling a parent face to face that they're struggling and that they need help. So, in ways that social media and phones aren't great, there's also, good parts of it too.
Absolutely. Which is, and just because it sort of came up, I'll mention again the 741-741, which is a crisis text line. Because again, I have two sons myself that are 14 and soon to be 13. They're just more comfortable texting than they are talking. So even if they want to reach out to someone, not only anonymity of it, but just the idea that they can text rather than having to vocalize like, hey, I'm struggling, or these are the thoughts I'm having or feeling. So I like to make sure that that's something that we continuously promote as well. So I would assume that's something that's also in your curriculum.
Definitely, yes. We promote the number 988, which is the National Suicide hotline. It's a 24-hour, and it's a text line. 24 hours, you can call or text.
And again, and in no way want to minimize that that's all you do, but are there other responsibilities that you have within Jocelyn? Because usually there's like an admin side that we're also doing. So anything else that you want to share about what you're doing at Jocelyn in your service?
Yeah, so I also help other youth trainers set up their Connect. So that is part of kind of like my tech savvy part of me is I am really, I really know how to work the Connect website and plugging in users and sending out information and creating passwords and usernames and troubleshooting when Connect is being wonky.
Yep.
So that's part of my, one of my duties, one of my...
responsibilities, duties.
It was one of my responsibilities. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then as well as we run a Jocelyn Junior board. This is a group board of 30 high school students who meet once a month, every Tuesdays from 7 to 8 at Jocelyn. And we're coming to talk about, you know, how to start the conversation of mental health, how to talk about it in a way that isn't vulnerable, but also isn't a way of like not acknowledging it.
Okay.
So very motivated, intellectual group of 30 students who come and we talk about, you know, what we're seeing in our high schools in regards to mental health, what we're not seeing, the language that students are using around mental health, and then ultimately how Jocelyn can, you know, help serve their high school in promoting mental health. Mm-hmm. An example of this is handing out our emergency wallet cards. Okay. On our emergency wallet cards, we have all of our resources. We have outside resources like the 988 or like NAMI, which is a Chicagoland resource. And then another one is creating mental health stickers that say like you are valued and, you know, you are the light in my world, or mental health for all with Jocelyn's logo at the bottom. We'll do bake sale to raise money specifically either for junior board to help fund or that goes back into the mental health first aid. And the passion that these teens come with is incredible. They are very honest with us. I think it's great that we're in a setting where me and my coworker and my co-facilitator, you know, we're all between the ages of 22 and 25, talking to a group of individuals who are 15 through 18, you know, there's not a huge age difference there. Right. And so when we're in the school's training, we have to put up our boundaries. We have to be professional. We have to act like a teacher rather than in this space, you know, you can let your guard down. You can get more vulnerable with each other. You can let down those barriers in the sense that let's connect on a deeper level. Like, tell me what you're actually saying. Like, tell me the words that are being used that people don't say in front of teachers, but that people use over text or with their friends. What makes you uncomfortable? What is something that your peers are saying or doing? Or like, what's the trend that maybe shouldn't be a trend maybe like isn't suiting the rest of society? And how can we prevail against that? And then also going into like the transition period of either like incoming freshmen or outgoing seniors. Of like, what is it like to transition to college? What is it like to transition to high school? Luckily, me and my two co-facilitators, we've all been through it. Mm-hmm. We all went to college. I'm going off to grad school. So is one of my coworkers. One of my coworkers was going to, but decided to go on a different path. We all have our own experiences that we're willing to share with these high schoolers that maybe inside a school, we're not willing to share with a bunch of 45 strangers. Usually we have up to a room of like 30 to 40, you know, students that we might not feel comfortable sharing or might not, you know, it's not the time or space to take up for us. So I love junior board. We have a group me where we can text in it. Every time before a meeting, we'll say like, hey, throw out some ideas that you want us to focus on. And so we're prepared, you know, what if they're like, what to do to say no to something in college and how do you say no? Or like what to do if, you know, your parents really want you to go to college and you're just like, college isn't for me. You know, how do you have those conversations? So having those ideas prepared, then the three of us work together on how to promote, you know, this at a meeting. So that's also another part of my role, which I love.
Yes, that sounds very impactful and very cool.
Yes, it is. It's an awesome, and it's a board. So we're making decisions on behalf of Jocelyn, which is awesome. And like the students who are in it can write it on the resume and submit it for service hours, which is also great.
Again, thank you so much for sharing that with me. one of the things I like to ask people who are in these service roles is that, you know, the service is kind of a, it's kind of a weird space sometimes that we occupy. And I would assume most people who are listening to this already know, but just in case, essentially we are volunteers that serve inside an organization. We do get a stipend, but it's not a paycheck. Functions like one, but it's not. And we are service workers or service members. We are not workers. We do not work. We serve. But we are hand in hand with people who do work at these places. So like our supervisors, our peers, our colleagues, our workers. Is there anyone or ones that you would like to call out at Jocelyn who work with you, who have helped guide you, give you some, you know, resources? Just anybody at the organization you're serving that you just want to shout out?
Sure. I have so many. Well, first, my coworker, Liv. I would not be able to do this without her. She is another Healthy Minds Alliance service member. We do this together, and I don't know where I would be without her. So shout out to Liv. And then my supervisor, I have two, actually, Maggie Nash, who also is the director of Camp Nika, the therapeutic day camp that I mentioned before, which is great because we have a prior relationship, which has been amazing. And I'm currently interviewing for school social work field placements for graduate school, and she's been helping me a bunch with that, which has been awesome. And then as well as Katie Narwald, who is my other supervisor, she kind of jumped in last minute and has just been super great. She's really good at giving positive feedback and, you know, encouraging us, you know, checking in after a training or, you know, meeting with us when something doesn't feel right. She's always there to listen rather than to coach, which definitely is there to coach, but right. She comes at the approach of, I want to listen and hear what you have to say before I have my thoughts, right. Which I really appreciate.
We focus a lot on the service that we do. You know, we are providing, again, quote unquote, this service. Even though we do get a stipend, like it's way less than what a professional would make in this role within the organization, most of the time, at least. But we do get stuff from it. You know, one, we get the stipend. Two, if you fulfill all the obligations, you get the education award, which can be very beneficial for someone like yourself who's about to go into grad school. But beyond those rewards, is there anything you've gotten from this service that you just want to shout out? It could be an experience that you had, an opportunity, someone you met, a project you work on, or just a sense of fulfillment. But is there something that when you look back on this, you think that's the coolest thing I've got to do?
Absolutely. This service term inspired me to become a high school social worker. From my experiences teaching mental health first aid in a high school setting, showed me a kind of social work that I never knew before. I always thought I wanted to be a medical social worker until I did an internship in it last year, realized that it wasn't for me, kind of went into this like panic mode of like, I love social work, but I don't know what I want to do. Do I want to do trauma? Do I want to do clinical? Like, do I want to do schools? Do I want to do administration? I had no idea. And this experience solidified that I would be a great high school social worker. And I'm very lucky because I get the chance to do that as I'm going into grad school next year. I get the chance to see something, experience it, and now get my degree in it.
That's wonderful. And I have just a couple of questions left. So one I always like to ask, especially you're coming closer to the end of your second term. If you could go back and tell a slightly younger Marley, roughly 2 years ago, what it would be like to be an AmeriCorps service member, or just something to kind of help you get acclimated faster, or just encourage you that, hey, this is the right choice. What advice would you give to your younger self about coming into a service?
Patience. I still remember my first day of AmeriCorps. I came into, you know, Jocelyn, where I'm used to, and it was great. And I was sitting at my desk, and my supervisor was trying to explain, like, Connect to me. And I remember walking out that day being like, what the heck is Connect? I do not understand this. And I'm so anxious. I'm supposed to be like doing all this. I don't understand the copy, the published course, and then submitting I was so confused. And I remember going home and being like, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? And, you know, watching people do it is so much easier than trying to say out loud, okay, this is what you do. This is what you click on. And so I had to be patient because then I had to wait for the next training to like actually watch someone put in participants and create a course. So patience, definitely. I think I worked myself up definitely for like a week or two, being like, this isn't for me. I don't want to be doing all this computer work. Like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't do a ton of, like, I don't want it. Like, I'm not getting any trainings. But with spring, like, quarter, we hit the ground running, where I was in a high school training almost every week, if not every week. So patience was a big one with technology, as well as, like, in the fall, I think it's harder to do trainings because, you know, school just started and, you know, freshmen are getting settled. And I mean, every grade is getting settled, but you're trying to figure out your classes. And, but in the springtime, they kind of have that, you know, that unsettledness solidified. And so this spring we, you know, hit the ground running, dipping our full foot in to team training. And I love it. I love being busy. I love being in the schools. I just didn't get that as much in the fall. And I think I just needed to be more patient, because now I'm like, oh my God, this is a lot. But I'm so grateful that it's a lot. I love it. But this is a lot.
Yeah.
So just acknowledging that, you know, fall time is a little bit slower, and then springtime you'll be in it. So that's what I would tell myself, to have patience.
I would just tag on there that connect process does need to be understood. It turned out like about, I don't know about, because I've been doing this now for, again, for a while. The way we did it at where I serve, we always have two, but there's like a 1 year over or one service term overlap. So I came in and then one person was with me has left. And now my second term, I have a different first term person, and then I'm leaving, and then a different another first term person will come in. And all that to say that I was making a mistake on Connect and I didn't realize it. And my invoices were not going out correctly. And they finally caught it and they realized. And so we had a bunch of old invoices that were not accurate that we had to update. So yes, double check. And if you have someone there that's with you, have them double check your Connect until you have it down. It was such a silly mistake that I made, but I can see how I made it. Because where you do have to copy a course, I was copying an old course, but I wasn't changing the date of training.
The date.
So
that
yes.
happened to us too. Yep.
So it was charging me for the people that had done the first one, not the new one.
Yep. Oh my God.
I had so many trainings that were, well, luckily the number of that original one wasn't terrible, but I was getting behind. So yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. So I learned that lesson.
That is, we had at least three people reach out to us and be like, why am I getting invoiced for over 30 participants? Like, we only had 30. And for the longest time, we were like, we have no idea the reason. And then the dates, we realized our dates were wrong. Yep. So, and it's such a small little thing that you don't even realize. You're just like, oh, it's fine. I don't need to change the date. Like, it's fine, but it matters.
It does. Yep. It's so easy to overlook. So if anyone's listening, make sure you're double checking your dates. All right.
Dates are important.
And then it's kind of my last question. As I, again, I ask this of everyone, you know, you knew you were going to be here today. We had talked on email a couple of times, and I hope that you had been thinking of things that you wanted to share. Is there anything that you were hoping I would ask about, or there's an experience that you were hoping you could share, but none of my questions have given you that opportunity? Just kind of pretend that I did give you that opportunity and then share the thing you were hoping you could share with me.
That's a great question. I liked your approach to that. I think because you're like, call me out on my what I didn't do, but like also tell me something unique. I think all of your questions were great. I would say I'm very inspired by the work that I do, clearly, as I'm now pursuing
Now your career.
Or going Type 73 degree. Yeah, exactly. Which Type 73 is the certification that you need to become to work within a school. For any listeners that are curious. So, and I didn't know that before I started with this term. And so I think that is a really unique sense of, you know, having even like getting to share a testimony on that, that that's like my experience through it. I think that would cultivate a lot of more individuals to want to do this work. I think it's very hard to find the right people who are willing to do service without getting a reward. Yes, like you mentioned, we do get a reward. We get a stipend, which is amazing. I'm so grateful. But for the work that we do, we're not getting what should be paid for. And that's just reality with service. You're serving what you need to serve, even if you're not getting paid what is deserved. And I recognize that. And I just think it's really important to share that, because I think a lot of people are turned away from that. From the idea of service and not getting paid and volunteerism. And But in reality, like as people in the helping profession, whether you're a nurse, a teacher, a social worker, whatever, like you should understand that service comes with a helping profession and that you should experience what it's like to serve without getting a reward.
As we bring this week's episode to a close, I just want to once again say thank you to Marley for joining me and sharing some of their experiences serving with AmeriCorps at Health 360 at the Joslin Center. I hope you have enjoyed listening, and I hope you will join us again next week when we have another amazing guest on to chat with. As a reminder, if you are interested in becoming a service member or have any questions about serving, or perhaps your organization would like to become a host site, you can find information and links to follow in our show notes.